So the experience with this project gave me a few tips, little tips to offer for those who are trying to do this kind of work and bring a project that focuses on victims to light. And so my recommendations, like everybody has said here so far, is number one, first, do no harm. Victims of trauma are under so much stress, stress that you as a reporter don't even realize. I mean, there are emotional issues with this woman. There are financial issues that she had to deal with now. There's also some kind of spiritual crisis for a lot of people going through traumatic events. So I think, I mean, we didn't really talk about this a lot, but you need to make an assessment early on if you're working on a project like this, whether the subject of the project really can be a participant in what you need to pursue. Sometimes people initially seem willing to have their story told because, you know, one common response after tragedy is to say, you know, I want people to know, I want the world not to forget. But then when they realize the story that you're trying to do will expose them, blemishes and all, to the world, they may reconsider. And like we all have heard, give them the opportunity to reconsider and to say no. There's no story, I believe, that's worth harming an innocent human being, and this person has already suffered so much, so there's no reason to do that. But while I say this, and this may seem contradictory, if you are pursuing a story about a victim of trauma and you're passionate about the story, be persistent, because they have so much to deal with. The victims of trauma are not really focused on the journalist knocking at their door. They may initially be reluctant and, you know, understand that, back off, give them time, but do come back if you believe in the story. And I say this because in our experience on the Domestic Violence Project, the grandmother of the mother of the victim, the grandmother who was raising her grandchild, initially she was eager to tell the story. She was like, you know, yeah, this horrible thing has happened. I want to tell my story. Then in the course of her grief, she said, I can't do this. This is too much. And this is one thing she said to the photographer, which really kind of really made us back off. She said, I remember you from that day outside of the apartment. And it's not so much that talking to you hurts me. It's seeing your face, just seeing your face reminds me of the day my daughter died.
Trigger.
Right. And so that was something that had never even occurred to us, that just the physical seeing this person reminded her of, brought her right back to that moment. So we said, okay, we're not going to do anything. We're going to pursue, you know, our investigative project on domestic violence, but, you know, her story is out of it. And then, but we kept our connection with her. As a human being, we would call her, how are you doing? You know, do you need anything? Whatever. Here's, you know, what we know and, you know, anything that we could talk to her about. And then after several months, she said to the photographer who called her, hey, how come the newspaper isn't interested in writing my story anymore? She totally forgot it was she who had called it off. So that's what I say, you know, you make connections with these subjects. You have connections with them as a human being, regardless of whether you're doing a story. Be persistent. Keep that connection, even if they don't want to participate in your story. It's important to them. And so that's number two. Number three, victims of trauma are processing their experience. Don't assume they'll remember all the details accurately. At the most basic level, you know, everybody double-checked, you know, your reporting. Everybody does that. I mean, someone says they were trapped in the attic for 5 days because of flooding. You know, it probably seemed like 5 days to them. It might have been 5 hours. You know, double-check if you can. But less obvious, and this was in the Domestic Violence Project, they are not going to be, trauma victims are not going to be aware of every little interview that you schedule or photos that you schedule. They may say, yes, you know, okay, I'll be here on Tuesday with, you know, whatever. And they're dealing with so much. So you're going to have to, like Miles said, really explain what you're trying to do several times and, you know, not take it personally if you schedule an interview and they don't show up. And, you know, we had this experience with the grandmother. She would give us permission, like, to go take photographs at the school where her granddaughter was. And then she would be surprised when we show up, and she would be upset. And then we'd say, okay, you know, we'll just do this another time. So be mindful of that. I would say editor shopping is good for all you journalists. You know, there are just some editors who are not going to go there with you. And accept that. Find an editor who will. I think you're going to need an editor if you're doing this kind of work that cares about the project as much as you do. And you're going to need somebody just to process your own feelings as you're going through this whole project. And I think it's good when reporters and photographers pair up together, because, you know, there's different ways of seeing the world, and they can offer support to each other. Editors certainly can help, you know, you process, and can spur you along when you're ready to quit, because half the time you will be. And I think, especially if you work for a publication or, you know, sort of a mainstream media outlet that maybe has less credibility in certain sections of the community, I will say, this woman was a black woman. And the photographer and the reporter who did the project were white, and she loved them. She had no problem with them. But our newspaper in general did not have a reputation of covering issues about black people in our community very well. And so she wanted to talk to an editor about what this project was going to be and get some assurance that the newspaper was going to treat her story with dignity. So, you know, getting an editor on board kind of helps sometimes. And then five, the numbers do matter. You know, I like a good narrative as much as anybody, but I think what elevates a trauma story to the next level is the context, as people talked about. And the trauma reporting is strengthened by investigative techniques. It's never bogged down by investigative techniques or numbers or figures or facts in a story. And I think readers want to be told why this person's tragedy matters on a large scale, and that's investigation gives you that thing to offer to the reader. So I encourage, you know, I wish more feature reporters did investigations, but I think more people would read investigative reporting. And I think in trauma journalism, especially, investigation can help shed light on ways to avert tragedies in the future, ways to help victims in the future. So, you know, the most obvious example is with, you know, Hurricane Katrina. The investigation that came out of that was, you know, looking at examining the state and federal response. And we had two hurricanes, you know, this past hurricane season, and I could say the response was not perfect, but it was much better because of those people did the stories on the flaws after Katrina. So, and the last thing I want to say is, it's kind of a challenge. I think we like to do stories about victims because victims tend to be sympathetic, but I think also there is a important role that we can serve about telling stories of victims who are not so sympathetic, and there, we've touched on that a little bit, but I want to say after Katrina, we did reporting on what happened to prison inmates who were transported from the Orleans Parish Prison to our local jail, and they had horrific stories. I mean, they didn't know whether family members were dead or alive. They didn't know if they had a home. They had no way of contacting anyone because they had evacuated to other areas. They didn't know anything. And we ran that story, and as you can imagine, the reader response was, so what? They're in jail. And it was discouraging, but I still think it's one of the best pieces that we ran after Katrina. And I think it's hard, but it's, you know, that challenge is there to write stories about people, you know, the victims and the perpetrators sometimes are victims. So I think there's room for more that we can do.